what is happening in our lives today. I had to think of just this past Thursday evening walking through the streets of Pottsville a little bit with Brother Derek, and I asked a number of people, "Are you a Christian?" And typically I got, "Yes." Well, what is Jesus doing for in your life today? Usually the response was a blank stare. You know, what makes us a Christian isn't really what happened at some point in our lives. It's what Christ is doing in our lives today. So I appreciated what we heard. I want to welcome everyone warmly this morning to our service. And yes, maybe it has been a bit warm. I think it's doing better now. But there was a problem with the system this morning. Thank you, visitors, for being with us. Trust that you can worship with us this morning. This morning I would like to consider a subject that I studied quite a few years ago. In my late teen years. And it's been a tremendous blessing for me, has helped me to see more in Old Testament scripture than I think I would have otherwise had I not done this study. And it's actually something I shared here a number of years ago in an opening, but I thought I would share it again. It's, like I said, it's something that has impacted my understanding of the Old Testament and made reading the Old Testament more alive to me. And my title is Old Testament Names of God. What is God's name or names? And so I have two goals this morning. Number one, I would like to impress each one of you with the value of understanding the different Hebrew names of God. And yes, we're going to explore some of those names, but even if you can't remember everything about that was said about one of those names, because really we're only going to scratch the surface, or if even that, even if you can't remember those details, I would just like to impress upon your mind this morning that it is valuable to understand and study those names and notice those names in the Old Testament, because who God is and what He is like is expressed in His names. Number two, I would like to inspire you to apply that understanding when you read the Old Testament, and that as you're reading, you would see those names and you could apply what you understand about those names to the text as you're reading. This morning we'll explore five of God's Hebrew names. There are three primary names used in the Old Testament: Elohim, Jehovah, and Adonai. We will look briefly at each one of those, and then we will also look at two compound names, El Shaddai and El Elyon. But before we get started in exploring these names, I would like to make us aware of something that I think probably most of us are aware of, but I think it's a good refresher, and that is that those that translated and wrote the King James Bible as we have it, when they translated the Hebrew Scriptures, they felt that it was important that the reader of the Old Testament would be able to distinguish between the different names of God that were used in the Hebrew language. And yet, we only have two English words, God and Lord, that we use for God. And And so they could either just translate it with one or two English words and allow it only to those that would look deeper at the Hebrew text to see those names, or they could have put the Hebrew pronunciation into our scripture, but then when somebody who is not a Bible scholar, that has little Bible knowledge, that picks up the Bible and begins to read, would get easily confused by these different names. And so they put a key into the King James Version. And again, this is only King James Version. Whenever you see God and it is spelled with a capital G and a lowercase O-D, we can know that it is the Hebrew name Elohim. This would be good material to write down, take notes of. Capital G, lowercase O-D is the name Elohim. Whenever you see all caps, G-O-D, or all caps L-O-R-D, God or Lord, all caps, we know, you can know, that the Hebrew name that is being referred to is Jehovah. And I also put up another name here, and I'll explain later why there's two names. But that other name is Yahweh. Now don't be confused. If I say Jehovah, or if I say Yahweh, I'm meaning the same name. All right, I'll explain that later. Whenever God or Lord is mentioned all caps, it is referring to one name. Jehovah and Yahweh we'll use interchangeably here this morning. Whenever you see Lord, lowercase L, I'm sorry, uppercase, capital L, and then lowercase O-R-D, you can know that it is the name Adonai in Hebrew. Now again, this is only King James Version. It is the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament. This is not necessarily the case in other versions. I'm not sure if there's any others that use this. I'm not sure about the New King James. I did not check that. And I also know that it does not apply to the Greek scriptures or the New Testament. So this is King James Version, Old Testament. So let's consider these primary names, these three primary names. Let's start with Elohim. The first thing I want to point out about Elohim is that it is a generic name. Many times in the Old Testament, if you look up this name Elohim, it's Strong's number 430 in the Hebrew dictionary. You will see that it often is translated gods, lowercase G-O-D-S. Because this name, just like our English word God, is generic. It can mean the true God of heaven, the Creator, but it can also be referring to false gods or false deities. Genesis chapter 3, 4 and 5. Why don't we turn there? Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. This is the serpent speaking to Eve. Genesis 3, verse 4 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, Then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. The word God and gods there are the same Hebrew word, Elohim. And so this name is generic. But when it is spoken of the true God, the God of heaven, now it is specific. Just like our English word, God. Many times when we refer to God, most times, all the time, when we say God in our service here this morning, we know we're referring to the true God. And that has so much more meaning. Many times you will see in the Old Testament that, especially Moses, but all the Old Testament writers to some degree, refer to the Elohim, the God of Abraham, or the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did they put that in there? The reason was to distinguish that I'm not just talking about any deity, I am talking about the true deity, because Elohim is generic. The second thing I would like to point out about Elohim is that it is a plural name. You noticed in the verse we just read that Elohim was God, for God doth know, Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened and ye shall be as gods, plural. Why is it translated plural when it's referring to other deities? That is because Hebrew words, many times, I am on the end indicates plural. For example, cherub. We sang this morning about cherubim and seraphim. Those are plural words. Singular, cherub, plural, cherubim. Seraph, singular, plural, seraphim. So Elohim, with I am on the end, is plural. And that is why the translators, when they are speaking about a false god, always translate it gods, plural. The singular form of Elohim is probably, as far as I can tell, Eloah. That word is only used about 59 times in the Old Testament. The word Elohim, most times being meant of the true God, happens over 2,500 times. Why plural? I believe it is because of the Trinity. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. I hope you can follow along in the passages this morning and still be able to take a few notes. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." What did that mean to you before? Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. That Hebrew word one is echad, which can mean a oneness in plurality. For example, in Genesis, God says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh," echad, one flesh, a man and his wife, oneness in plurality. Jews often point to this verse as pointing out that the Christian doctrine of the Trinity is false. God is one God. He's not three. And yet, a close look at the Hebrew language, Elohim, plural, Echad, Jehovah, the personal name for God, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one, Jehovah. Thirdly, about the name Elohim, is that it seems to be from two Hebrew words. The first Hebrew word is El, E-L. And that in Hebrew means strength. There's an Israeli airline, I think it's still in function, called El Al. Have you ever seen that? Israeli airline, El Al. And you could actually literally translate that up, up. It's the idea of undergirding power. The idea of a passenger jet taking to the skies. El Al, up, up. Strength. The second word, Allah. To swear or to bind by an oath. And so if we put those two words together, El and Allah, we have the strong and to swear or faithful one. The strong, faithful one. I'm not going to write that up here, but that's what Elohim means. The strong, faithful one. Of course, it means much more than that, but that is a concise meaning. Now, even if I am mistaken about those two Hebrew words, the way that the name Elohim is used in the Hebrew Scriptures backs up this meaning very well and gives it that meaning, regardless of what contraction of words it may have been. Genesis chapter 1, we find that the word Elohim happens 32 times. In the beginning, Elohim created. And as we read Genesis chapter 1, we see strength again and again and again. God created, and He is strong. Has God abandoned His creation? Has He? Has God abandoned His creation? Absolutely, He hasn't. He is faithful. Elohim is the strong, faithful one. Elohim is faithful. He will keep His covenant. It was Elohim who came to Abraham and made a covenant with him. A covenant that the land of Canaan would be his and that his children would multiply like the sands of the sea. Elohim. Elohim also carried on that covenant with Isaac, with Jacob, and on and on. So this morning, Elohim, in very brief, is the strong, faithful one. Secondly, I would like to consider Jehovah or Yahweh. This is God's personal name. And we'll explain that in a bit. But before we do that, I would like to just explain a little bit why I have two names here, Jehovah and Yahweh. In the Hebrew Scriptures, this name was always YHWH, consonants. And sometime after the Israel was carried captive, Jerusalem was carried captive to Babylon, sometime after that in Judaism, as part of Hebrew law, they began to avoid pronouncing this personal name of God because to the Jews it was so sacred. And they focused on that to the point where they no longer pronounced. No one ever heard the name, this name pronounced. And because it's spelled only in consonants, eventually the pronunciation was lost. Because it depended on the only way you knew exactly how a word, that word was supposed to be pronounced, was by hearing it. And so the pronunciation was lost over time. Later, scholars, in an attempt to begin to use this name once again, they were not sure of the pronunciation, so they took the consonants out of Yahweh, WHYH, and they incorporated the names of the vowel sounds from another name, I believe Adonai, and they came up with Wahovah, or Wahovah, eventually got translated into English, Jehovah. And so this morning, I use Jehovah quite frequently because that is widely understood in English as the personal name for God. But I think it's good to recognize that Jehovah, that was not the Hebrew pronunciation. That is a name that has been made up or contrived through language. Yahweh, on the other hand, in more recent times, it seems that Jewish scholars have agreed that that was probably the correct pronunciation of YHWH. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we should stop using the word Jehovah and use the word Yahweh. Not at all. They are in reference to the same Hebrew name. We first find this name in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. We don't need to go there. But the children of Israel apparently did not know the real meaning of this name, if they even knew the name at that time, until Exodus chapter 3. You can turn to Exodus chapter 3. We find Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3. And we will start reading at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. By the way, that is the Elohim of your fathers, has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah, Elohim of your fathers, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, and Elohim of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name, meaning Jehovah. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so here we find God dialoguing with Moses at the burning bush, saying, you need to go to Egypt, and you need to say to the children of Israel, that the God of your fathers, the Elohim of your fathers, has sent me to free you from bondage. And Moses asks a very logical question. Well, there's lots of Elohims in Egypt. Elohim is generic. They're going to ask me, what's his name? What is name? How do we know that the Elohim you are speaking of is the true Elohim, the Elohim of our fathers? And God gives Moses his own personal name, his name. The other names of God I see as more attributes or adjectives of God, but this is God's name. Verse 15, while he says, I am that I am. And then verse 15, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers. This is my name. Yahweh is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am that I am. The Hebrew word there means to exist. And so God defined for Moses his personal name. And so from that, if we want just a short one-line meaning of Yahweh, Jehovah, it is the self-existent one. God is not in time. God created time. And God says, in the past I am. I am present in the past. We heard from Brother Austin this morning that we're in today. And that's, today is what we have. We don't have yesterday and we don't have tomorrow. But to God, he says about yesterday, I am. He sees it in one swipe. In the present, I am. In the future, I am. Right now, I am. And yet, in giving this short one-line description of the name Jehovah, the self-existent one, we realize that it falls so far short. So far short. It's so much more than that. I have been reading and listening through the book of Leviticus the past few days. And in Leviticus chapter 19, God says, be ye holy, for I, Jehovah, am holy. Jehovah means holiness. I also noticed that as God, you know, maybe the book of Leviticus might seem a bit boring to you, but I was impressed. As all these laws are being laid out, the sacrifices and all the details of the tabernacle, all these details, chapter after chapter after chapter, and every time God is kind of finishes up a certain passage about a certain sacrifice or a certain law of how it was supposed to be performed, he says, for I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. For I am the Lord, it reads in your Bible, all caps. And so the name Jehovah is everything that God is. More than we can comprehend. Self-existent. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6. I think you should be at Exodus chapter 3. Let's just page over to Exodus chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 1. Then Jehovah said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Elohim spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai, But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. The King James translators realized that this verse is not going to make sense unless they add even more in here, and so they actually spelled out the name Jehovah. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them. But now, as of Exodus chapter 3, God revealed his name, Jehovah. Let's keep reading verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am Jehovah, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be unto you a Elohim, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah, your Elohim, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Notice when he speaks about the covenant, the name Elohim comes into perspective. The strong, faithful one. But in all this, I am Jehovah. I am the self-existent one. I am the Holy One of Israel. Now, maybe you're thinking that this is just true of the books of Moses. The prophets also use this code, or use these names. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, I am the Lord, all caps. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. That is my name, and my glory would I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah also in 26 verse 4 says, trust ye in Jehovah, for in the Lord, Jehovah, and it is spelled out Jehovah there, is everlasting strength. Now I would like to consider Adonai. Now the word Adonai is also a bit generic, and it simply means master or Lord. So when referred to God, the true God, it is the sovereign master or Lord. Exodus chapter 4. If you find yourself still there in Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. We will continue with Moses and God at the burning bush. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto Jehovah, O my Adonai, O my master, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And Yahweh said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have not I, the Lord, Jehovah? Now therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Adonai, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moses. Many times you will see this name, Adonai, uppercase L, lowercase O-R-D, when someone, a Jew, is speaking to God, addressing God as my master, my Lord, Adonai. Psalm 110 verse 1 says, Jehovah, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. That is, Jehovah said unto my Adonai. That is David. Jehovah said unto my Adonai, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God the Father, Jehovah, said to Jesus Christ, sit thou at my right hand. Now I would like to briefly consider the two compound names I mentioned, El Shaddai and El Elyon. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And that is how it is given in the King James Version. It's spelled out, the Almighty God. You can turn to Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, we will see this name used. But I would also say that the name, the meaning is much more than simply the Almighty God. There is a sense, as we look at this name, that it means life giver, life sustainer, life nourisher, the giver, sustainer, and nourisher of life. Let's see how this holds out in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham, that is Jehovah, appeared to Abraham, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We read earlier that God said, I came unto your fathers by the name El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. Here God is revealing himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thou name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham. Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, excuse me. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God, Elohim, unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed, and seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. God said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai. I am going to prosper you. I am going to make your seed abound. He is the life giver. He is the nourisher and the sustainer of life. But as we read down through and God makes a covenant with Abraham, immediately we see the name Elohim. And you can also turn to Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. Here we find a woman, Naomi. She's bitter at God. She's bitter about the difficulty that God brought into her life, that her husband and her two sons died, and now she's left her and her two daughter-in-laws by themselves. Or I guess she only had Ruth with her at the time she says this. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. And she, being Naomi, said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. For El Shaddai hath dealt very bitterly with me. Naomi here in her bitterness is saying that El Shaddai, the one who is the life giver, sustainer, and nourisher of life, he has done the exact opposite. He's taken it away. And she's bitter. But we know the story. We know the story of Boaz and Ruth. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who redeemed their land that belonged to their family and married Ruth. And if you would turn to chapter 4, Ruth chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, at the very end of the book, it gives a lineage. It's the end of the lineage. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. What was promised to David? What was the covenant that Elohim made with David? That there would not cease to be a man on the throne in his lineage. The promise of Jesus was in the line of David. And so Ruth was bitter. Ruth said, El Shaddai, the life giver and sustainer, has taken life away. But in the end, we see that indeed El Shaddai is the almighty life giver, sustainer, and nourisher. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. El Elyon. El Elyon, that's El-Elyon. The Most High God. And that is how it is given in our Bible. The Most High God. Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis chapter 14, we find that there are four kings and their armies that have made war with Sodom and Gomorrah and a few other cities and carried the people and all the spoil away. And that included Lot and his family. And Abraham, when he heard about it, gets his servants and his household together and pursues after this army with only 318 men. I do not know how big these armies were, but the fact that it was several kings, four kings altogether that they were pursuing, tells me that it was probably a sizable army, for sure more than 318. And in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, well, we know that Abraham captured them, they spoiled them, they brought back all the captives and all the spoil. And they come back, and we find him meeting Melchizedek in verse 18. It says, And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, El Shaddai. El Elyon. The Most High God, El Elyon. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. We see there Abraham with just a few men capturing that larger army, destroying them. God is El Elyon, the Most High God. The affairs of this world are in his control. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 24 and 25, we find Nebuchadnezzar telling Daniel his dream. And in his dream, he saw this great tree that was great in the earth. And there was fruit, and the birds and animals enjoyed the shade and the comfort of this tree. But that tree, an angel came and said, Cut it down. And it was cut down, and the fruit was scattered. And Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel this dream, and Daniel says in chapter 4, verse 24, This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, El Elyon, which is come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High, El Elyon, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. El Elyon sets up who he will and puts down who he will. He is the one that controls what happens on this earth. The governments, the kingdoms of this world are in his control. 2020, United States election, the Most High is in control. El Elyon is in control. He sets up who he will. Once again, my goals this morning, even if you don't remember some of these details, I trust that you got a little bit of a glimpse of the value in understanding a little bit of the different Hebrew names of God. And that you can learn to know God more by understanding these names. I trust it is your desire to learn to know God deeper. And I hope that giving you this code and some of the things I have said, I hope I've inspired you so that when you're reading the Old Testament, especially through the books of Moses, which seem to get a bit long, and the prophets, when you see capital G, lowercase od, you can say, that is the strong, faithful one. That is Elohim. Even if you don't remember the Hebrew name, it helps to remember it. That is the strong, faithful one. When you see all caps, you know it's Yahweh, it's Jehovah, it's the self-existent one, it's the Holy One. And when you see capital L, lowercase ORD, you can say with those men of old, God, you're my master, you're my Lord, you're my Adonai. And make him that in your life. When you see the Almighty God, El Shaddai, you can feel his life-giving, nourishing strength in your life. And El Elyon gives us the confidence that nothing happens here on this earth that is out of his control. In closing, I would like to read Psalm chapter 8. We read this psalm many times. Psalm chapter 8. O Jehovah, O Yahweh, our Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Yahweh, our Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, how excellent is your name. We are humbled before you this morning. And Lord, we simply ask you to continue to show yourself to us as we walk throughout our daily lives and as we strive to live for you, strive to make you the master, the Adonai of our lives. Lord, that you would show yourself real to us. The all-sufficient God, the holy Jehovah, the faithful Elohim. Lord, help us to learn to know you more and more. Help us to reach out and to find you real in our lives, in our daily walk of life. You care about each one of us. You said that a sparrow does not fall without you knowing it. How much more you care for each one of us. Lord, encourage us, encourage each one here this morning. I pray that you would bless the remainder of the service. May we go in peace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.